Thank you. I was just thinking, you know, oftentimes you have to laugh because you sort of live a portion of your what happens, whatever you preach, you live a little bit of it. So this morning I woke up and I had 5 perfect hair days last week. 5 of them. I woke up this morning, I did all of the same things, but my hair said, oh no, not today, you had 5. So I said, okay. Then I got in the elevator. After bothering with my hair, I curled it 3 different times, 3 different ways, and this is what I got. So then I decided to get in the elevator, and it's time to come down and to come to church. And when the elevator opens, I'm looking at a poster that they've put up, and the poster says that there are now foxes running around in my neighborhood. And it says 2 little foxes were running around in the parking lot, and they wanted to let us know. So you know what came to mind, don't you? It's time to move. I said, God, what do you do? I mean, do you spray mace, hairspray? You know, I turn the corner, and if the fox is sitting there, what do I do? So I'm going crazy. All this stuff is going on, and I said, stop it, Robin. Get in the car before Fox comes. So I got in the car, and all I could think about was the Lord must get lots of pleasure of laughing at me because I go through all kinds of little things. I thought about how God has been ministering to me about just life as a whole. And as the body of Christ, I've been praying so hard for various people and various lives and family and all types of people in my life that their lives are falling apart. Literally, they're going through so many things all at one time. I wanted to read a testimony that I had the opportunity to read and check on someone from many years ago. So I wanted to read this. He was a good kid. The son of a pastor, grew up in the church and went to a small Christian college. There, he excelled in track and football until an injury changed everything. Jordan's broken ankle required 2 surgeries and prescription pain medicine. Jordan began to depend on the meds, and as the prescriptions ran out, he started looking for more. Digging through the medicine cabinets and bathroom drawers at every home he entered. Soon he was shopping for pills on the street and stealing in order to afford them. And as his addiction worsened, Jordan began crushing pills to inhale them and even to inject them. And this child is the son of a pastor. I want you to imagine what the pastor and his wife felt like. Many times we look back over our lives and we say, but I tried, Lord. I felt like I did all the right things. How could my child choose this? But the pastor and his wife were able to collect themselves. And when Jordan was expelled from college after failing his 2nd drug test, the parents gathered themselves together. And they said, we're sending him to Teen Challenge. During the 12 months at Teen Challenge, God changed Jordan's life, bringing him healing and restoration. And after Jordan graduated from Teen Challenge, he returned to college, completing his degree, and got a job as an athletic coach at the same school that he once was expelled from. Jordan never dreamed his story would have the impact that it did on a Christian recording artist, Matthew West. Matthew West said that Jordan's story changed his life, and the song that he wrote after Jordan's life became a number one hit. Jordan did not understand why his life took the road that it did, but he recognized that he made many mistakes with addiction. He made many mistakes with going forward, But Jordan today wears a new badge. He is a new creature in Christ, a child that the one true King has changed. Are you experienced or have you experienced the wind being knocked out of you? How many have gone through that time? Or you may be going through it right now. Have you felt like the ground up under you is just a little shaky, or that you feel a little unstable? Is fear and anxiety trying to take you over and you feel like you have nothing to hold on to? Do you feel a loss of control? Everybody likes to control things. Everybody likes to hold on to something and say, I am in control. But what happens when life falls apart around you and you can't control it? Do you feel like you constantly wring your hands? Well, again, what do you do when life falls apart? I'm going to do this a little different today because I really want to have an opportunity to bring this to you, because the Lord has really been dealing with me to the point that I shared it with Pastor, because I said, if you don't want me to speak on this, I will not. But I felt like God said it. He said, you do what God is telling you to do. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, and it's coming from the New Living Translation. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. One of the things that I thought of is Paul's life. Life with us brings us hardship, and Paul knew hardship. Like all of us Christians, every day we live to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul, he had questions. He was tried. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was in prison. And we often think that when things come down around us, we say, Father, what did I do? But Paul didn't do anything. What Paul did was deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You are going to be tried for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything around you will try you because you are trying to stand for Jesus. He didn't promise you a rose garden. He didn't promise you that everything every day would be perfect, but he did promise to be with you. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We have times in our earthen vessels, we know not what or how things are going to work out. I have been perplexed. Going to visit my mother and hearing all of the things that's wrong, I have been perplexed. And seeing how things are going to work out, feeling what can I do? How can I do it? But I have not been in despair. That is being without a hope. Every one of you have a hope. And you may go through a time of being perplexed, a time of saying, God, what do I do? That's a good time, because then you cannot do it in your own strength. You have to trust God. We can't imagine how many things we try to do in our own strength. If you could just sit back and think of every time a crisis came up, what did you say? I know what to do. Instead of going to God. And that's the reason why it turns out the way it does. Because we know what to do when we really don't know what to do. And so we keep running on, I know what to do. And then you hit the brick wall and you get up and you say, maybe I didn't know what to do. And now it's time to try Jesus. When you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. It's time to stop. It's time to freeze. It's time to say, Lord, here I am. And I don't know what to do. But I know that you are there. Now guide me. The Lord has a light and he will guide you if we seek him. The next thing it says that we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. I was thinking about going to a magistrate And the magistrate is saying to you, we want to kill you. We are going to imprison you. We're going to beat you. Why? For the gospel's sake. We don't like that you are spreading the gospel. We don't like what you have done. You have won many to Christ, and we are going to get rid of you. Life takes its twists and turns, and some of you are going through some things, and you have prayed for family members, and they are not responding the way in which you would like. You have gone through some financial things. You have gone through life, and life has cut you a little bit. But seek God. When life falls apart, run to God. You're not destroyed. We are disappointed, shamed, lied on. Paul was, after all, knocked down as he tried to convince both Jews and Gentiles that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. Paul had been attacked, mobbed, stoned. Paul was knocked down for his argument that the Gentiles did not have to be converted to Judaism to be saved. He was bringing new things that people were rejecting them. With all Paul went through, his faith, his prayer life, his godly mission was not for sale. What's for sale? What do you have for sale? Is a lot of times we go through things, there's so many things knock us out of the faith. I'm amazed at how quickly we give up. Isn't it funny that let's look at human nature for a moment. Isn't it funny that you'll stay in sin for years and years and years, and your whole body gets destroyed and knocked down, and you can't hardly get out? But when you get in Christ, wonderful Jesus Christ, he changes your life, changes your heart, gives everything anew. And then when you go through something, the very first thing you do, maybe he doesn't love me. Well, Satan didn't love you. Look what he did to you. Maybe he doesn't care. He didn't either. Jesus Christ does. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is always here. Everything is falling apart. Where do you run? Who is the person you run to? I have water. Who is the person you run to? Who is the person you run to? C.S. Lewis. I love C.S. Lewis. I love all of The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. I love the whole series, and I watch it every time it comes on. But this is something that has been a wonderful saying to me. C.S. Lewis says, hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. We think that we're just going through something, and we think that we are, it's a mistake. But oftentimes when our life falls apart, it's God's blessing, because he's going to give us something brand new. And we're going to have new destiny if we go through it. If we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, if we're willing to take the test and be what God wants us to be, we receive new destiny. Some of the harder times in my life, before we go to the next verse, I remember, and I've said this before, going through a divorce. Anyone that has ever gone through a divorce knows that it's one of the hardest things you could ever go through. I never, ever, ever broke out and had so many things to happen to me. I was in the hospital 4 or 5 times for weps that were all over my face and body. And I could not explain how they got there, but my nerves had taken control of me. Totally taken control of me. And so there I was going back and forth to the hospital. And I didn't realize at first what was going on. So there was no interaction where I was saying, God, get me out of this, because I didn't know what was going on at first. And then I had times that my nose started bleeding for no reason. My nose was bleeding every time I barely moved. If I moved, I'd have a nosebleed. And then I became sick. And that's when I realized, okay, this is trying to take you out. It's a divorce. It's not the rest of your life. And it's time to get a grip. And I began to fast, and I began to pray, and I began to say, God, get me out of this, and Lord, bring me through this, and Lord, strengthen me, and Lord, change my life, and help me. From the divorce, I ended up here. And look at my destiny. God had a plan. I was lost, I was confused, I was in a mess, and then God picked me up, he brought me here. And all the time, me saying, I can't do this by myself, I can't raise a child by myself. Lord, that's why I wanted to do things the right way, because I did not want to raise a son by myself. I haven't raised him by myself. The body of Christ has been there to help me all along the way. Jesus Christ has spoken into William's life over and over and over again. And no, he's not a perfect young man, and it does not yet appear what he will be, but I can tell you he's a good young man. And I have been blessed to have him in my life. And there are so many days that when I am laying in bed, and I am saying, God, give me what I need to make it to the next day to raise this son. He comes in and he says, Mom, I love you. And I want to thank you for all that you have done for me. God takes you to a new destiny. Stop looking at where you are and get a grip and get in prayer and seek the face of the Lord, because he has more for you. This is just fleeting. This is temporary. Look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. But look at the things that are not seen, because they are eternal. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. Think about that. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 says this. And I was thinking about how Paul was just writing in order how God brought him out. He said, I receive joy when I am weak. I receive joy when people talk against me and make it hard for me and try to hurt me and make trouble for me. I receive joy when all these things come to me because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You want to be strong? Recognize that Christ is always there holding you. You're not in it alone. Some of you think that you're in this alone. You're not in it alone. Jesus Christ has never left you. He's been there the whole time. He's holding your hand. Even in the midst of you feel like you're swimming in financial trouble, swimming with your children, swimming in life, Jesus Christ is there. And he's holding you. And he's guiding you. And he's taking you through. And one of the things in the weak areas that I have recognized the most is that if you run to the right place, that strength is unbelievable. We had a pastor when I was growing up, and he used to say, Lord, I don't want him just to be strong. Give him supernatural strength. And boy, I'll tell you what, I thought about the fact that there have been many times in my life I felt like I could pick up a car or something with that supernatural strength. In the time of weakness, in my father's death, I remember feeling all of the things you feel, but when I came back, my father said, I need you to help your mother through it. I prayed and God gave me supernatural strength. And we were able to do everything that I needed to do to walk her through life, to help her to get back. That same strength is there for you. Many of you this week, this past week, all you've been doing is shaking your head. And you've been saying, Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to make it, what I'm going to do, what the plan is going to be. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has the plan. He has the plan. He is not short on the plan. What to do when life is falling apart? What do you do? Nope, I'm sorry. Let me go back. I have one more scripture. John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Someone asked me last week, they said, am I going through unusual things, or is there anywhere in the Bible that it says I'm going to go through something? John 16:33 is what I gave them, because he said, that you might have peace. He said, I've spoken unto you that in me you have peace. But he says, in the world you have tribulation. So don't think it's strange that you're going through something. Don't think it's strange that things are coming up against you. Are you serving the living God? Don't think it's strange. Not everything is going to be handed to you when you say yes to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, my sister, 15, she dedicates her heart to the Lord, and it was very comical because she had done something a couple of weeks earlier, and then she gives her life to Christ, and this is what she said. My mom had not found out about what she had done the entire time. She dedicates her heart to the Lord, and a lady walks up to her in front of my mother and says, okay, so now you're going to tell your mother what you did? She looked, and after church, she came to me. She said, does Jesus do that for real? For real, he tells on you? And I said, he wanted you to be totally clean. So what he did, it wasn't like he told on you. What he did is just made it where you could repent for everything and be clean. And she said, I thought he was supposed to make it easier. I said, you got a lot to learn. Keep reading. She did not realize that things are going to happen. You're going to go through something. Trials are coming. You are going to feel the pain. But one of the things you need to know, life may happen, but Jesus Christ is giving you an opportunity. He's giving you an opportunity. In this world, you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Don't faint. Don't fall. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. That's when people need to understand the cross, the resurrection, and the things that Jesus did to give us life. He has overcome it. You and I need to understand that all we need to do is know that Jesus will never leave you. Let me say it over here. Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never leave you. You will walk out on Jesus possibly, but Jesus will never leave you. He's always going to be there. So when you're going through your worst problem, he is there. He will not leave you. So think about that throughout your whole part of your day. Yeah, there may be some things you have to do differently. So I want to go to that. What to do when life is falling apart? You need to take responsibility. Repent for your part in the big mess that you've created. Now, only your part, but you need to take responsibility. You know, oftentimes, one of the things that I've realized that's the most difficult for us as Christians, we will take responsibility and say, okay, I did that. But you know, it's very hard for Christians to come back and say they're sorry. It's like they get choked up. But Jesus Christ is not like that. If you've done something that you need to go back to someone for, go back and say, I am sorry. There are just times in our lives that half of the stuff we get involved in would be easily solved if we just say, I'm sorry. I think about over and over again that in many things, you know, wrong financial decisions I've made. At times when I was growing up, ways that I did things, I remember as a Christian thinking, okay, God, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. I am sorry. But then looking over there, there was a person I needed to say I was sorry to, and I would not go back because I said, I already did it. I told God I'm sorry. But as I grew in the Lord let me know that's not good enough. You need to go back and say you're sorry. You need to go back to that person. You need to go back and look at what you've done. Something I felt kind of crazy for over the beginning when God started teaching me this was I knew that God had entrusted me to do some things with finances way back when, and I didn't do it. And so because I didn't do what God entrusted me to do, financially, I had to go back and I had to ask forgiveness. I had to ask forgiveness because I asked forgiveness to a person that you will not believe. The Lord kept bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. So I called up the collector of the bill and I said, I don't know who I need to talk to, but I want you to know I did have that money to pay the bill, but I did not spend it the right way. I must have been like 20 because I had just gotten married. And I said, so I'm asking you to forgive me, and the money is on the way. The lady on the phone said, hello. Who is this? I said, this is Robin Phillips Beal. And I have, and I gave the number, such and such bill. I said, and it is late, very late. And I had the money, but I spent it the wrong way. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm also saying to you, the money is on the way. She said, I have never had a phone call like this. She said, I'm not sure what to say. She said, okay, you're sending the money. I said, it's already in the mail. She said, okay. And then she said, well, what am I supposed to say? I said, okay. She said, okay. And I said, goodbye. She had no idea what to do. I didn't need her to really do anything. This was God making a 20-year-old do the right thing. That's what this was all about. And so I'm telling you, exactly, and I'm telling you God had a plan because it became easier for me to recognize when I did something, it wasn't enough just to repent, but I needed to go back and make it right. So take responsibility for your part. Don't go on a guilt trip. Don't go crazy. But if you had a part in, there's a part of a responsibility that you had about things falling apart, go back and make it right. It takes two people to walk through a marriage, and when there's a divorce, even if it's really, really bad, both people had something to do with it. Years later, I picked up the phone, called my ex-husband, and said to him, I just want to say to you that I am sorry for anything I did to you that caused you pain. Please forgive me. Because I needed a release, and I needed to move forward, and I wasn't sure. Thinking back of the times I had attitudes, the time I was angry, I couldn't remember everything, but what I knew is I needed to start over again. My life, and when I saw him, I never wanted to think that I harmed him. New life, new beginnings. I'm bringing something to you because I'm telling you that Christians have a hard time. They just say, oh, it'll be okay, I'll treat them nicely. For years, when my mother did something, and she doesn't mind me saying this because she has given a testimony of it, for years when she did something, she'd give you something new. She would never say she was sorry. She'd just come and say, here, I bought this for you. And I remember when I got older, one day I said, Mom, I'd just rather you say you're sorry. I would just rather you tell me that you are sorry for hurting me. The gift didn't mean anything. But her words of saying, I'm sorry, meant something. Not that she was eating crow, but that she was actually sorry for the event. She learned to say, I am sorry. Look at the scriptures, Acts 3:19, and it says this. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you want that time of refreshing? That time of when God pours back in his anointing and his spirit because you have come and you have made yourself clean in the presence of a living God. The Holy Spirit will come. He will change your life. He will wash you. He will make you clean because you have taken responsibility. Next, stop. Just stop for a moment. When everything falls apart, everything inside of you tells you to do 99 things. And you got all these plans and you start writing things out and you start making plans to go here, there, and everywhere. Stop. Freeze. Read the Bible and prepare to apologize, then move forward without guilt and shame. Once you ask God to forgive you, once you ask those persons to forgive you, if that's necessary, you move forward without guilt and shame. Others will make you always want to hold, they'll hold you to the shame. They'll hold you to the guilt. But he who the Son has made free is free indeed. And I know and understand that. So stop. Stop making all kinds of plans because that's how you repeat the mistakes. Ask God, what do you have for me? Where do I go from here? I got here. And I said, God, where do I go from here? And I needed healing. And God sent me to Mary and Sister Corrine and many other, Marie. And there God met me and brought deliverance and healing and miracles in my life. He changed the rest of my life. I had so much that God that I had just felt over the years of life. And God just brought it all out and gave deliverance and healing. You know, life is about secrets. And you're taught to keep them. And you're taught to hold on to them and not tell anybody. Because if you tell someone, then they look down on you. So I want to just give this testimony, and I've given it before, but the Lord led me to say this because it will help someone. We were almost done with the counseling, almost done with the ministry they had poured into my life. So I'm sitting there, and there's this part of me that feels like good. There's one thing that didn't come out, and I'm very happy it didn't. Because you see, I felt shame at 6 years old when I was molested. Because when my aunt came to see me, this is what she said. They were tired of taking care of us, tired of my mother and father living the life they had lived. So we were divided up in homes. And when my aunt came to visit me, I now understand where she was, but I didn't understand it then. A child in the hospital at 6, she said, what did you do? So all my life, I thought I did something for that to happen to me. I carried it, and I harbored it like a secret, and I covered it because I didn't want anyone to know that I might have done something at 6 years old. What can a 6-year-old do for someone to abuse them? They can't. And so all my life, I had three main things I wanted to do. I wanted to disappear. I wanted to make sure that no one ever noticed me. And I always wanted to be unimportant. And God had another plan. And he took that plan and he said, you've carried this all these years and you harbored it like it was a secret. You rocked it like it was a baby. But today I'm setting you free. And my life was changed. And no longer was it a secret. I went home. I talked to my mother. I had the opportunity to talk to my aunt before she passed. I had the opportunity to let them know I did nothing. I was a child. And this person affected my life, but no longer will they affect it. Because I am changed by the blood of Jesus. And the Lord has come in and let me know. You were a victim, but you are no longer a victim because I have set you free. And Jesus Christ did that. When Mary looked at me and said, there's something else, where you molested as a child, everything in me just wanted to disintegrate because God had revealed the biggest thing that was hurting my life. He took it away. So run to Jesus before making decisions, because we just get crazy. We want to do all kinds of things. You think you got it figured out. Well, I'll go over and borrow from this bank, and then I'll pay off the bills I owe over here, and then I'll stop, push, pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Pray until Jesus Christ answers you. Listen for what he's saying to you. Sometimes we just need to stop and listen. I remember someone saying, does Jesus really speak? I said, it's not does Jesus speak. Do you listen? As hard-headed as we are as children, we are that hard-headed in the presence of the living God. Think about children. I work with them every day. I say, come here. Let me help you. They keep running. Come here. Let me help you. They keep running. I get up to go after them, and they run still. And yet all along they're crying, saying, "I it hurts. My hair is in it." I say, come here. I can get it out of your hair. And they keep moving. Finally, you almost tackle them, take it out of their hair. And they say, wow, thank you. That's us in the presence of a living God. He's saying, come here. And we're running in the other direction. Push. Pray until something happens. And as a believer, rejoice for the new direction. He's got a new direction for you. And let me tell you something. You think that you are doing what God wants you to do now? You go through this whole problem, this whole thing, and I'm going to tell you something. You are going to come out with a newfound joy, a newfound peace, a new anointing, a new calling. You are going to be strong in areas that you have never been strong in before because you endured hardship as a Christian soldier. Jesus Christ has a plan for you. He loves you. One of the greatest visions God has given me in life is he showed me wrapped in a white blanket, and he just engulfed me in it, and he held me. There are nights that when I am there, and seemingly what seems to be all alone, he brings that vision back to me. And he's holding me in this white blanket. And the blanket is engulfed around me, but I am engulfed in him. I'm not alone. You are not alone. When life hits you, just freeze. Get back to your Father. I want to show you the pictures. Run to God. Because we think about this only every now and then. I looked at this because there are children praying. That's a famous picture at the top part that hung up in my house for many, many years. My great-grandmother gave it to my mother, and it's one of the more famous pictures of children praying. Get to the Word of God where there's Bible study. Men gather together and pray. We have the prayer room, and then we have women praying for women. We have a picture there of Bible study and prayer going on. We have a picture of a man struck, just struck by what he did. And in the middle, that was another picture that my mom had in her house. And it's just sisters praying together in the Lord. I'm telling you that we often run in all the wrong directions. But if we want to help each other, we need to get down to some serious prayer. We need to get down to some serious running to Jesus. It's funny how you can be hungry for so many things, but how many of you are hungry for the Word? It's time for you to get the Word back into your life. If you've been missing, thank you. If you've been missing praying, come back to Jesus. Everyone stand. I want to encourage you. How many, just every head bowed and every eye closed, all of you that are going through something right now, and I know you're there because God spoke to me, I want you to come forward and just let us pray. Come forward and let us pray. It's just, and those of you that are praying at the altar, please come. Come forward and let us pray. You're going through some hard times right now. And you are saying, Father, I don't know where to turn from here. And you've made your plans, but you know you need to wait. You know you need to freeze. You know that you need to stop for a moment and just hear what God is saying. I'm asking for brothers and sisters that's praying at the altar to come forward too. I want you to know that the Lord loves you. And I want you to know that God has a plan. But more importantly, when your life is falling apart, there's something you need to know. He has new direction and new destiny. Don't be afraid to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Father God, we bring everyone before you. And I'm asking, Lord, as they're being prayed for at the altar, that you would move in every situation here, Lord, every circumstance, everything that makes them feel, Father, that their ground is unstable, that, Father, around them everything is falling apart. They don't know the proper decisions to make. Let them freeze and hear the voice of God. Father, speak. Speak to them. Tell them what to do, how to do it. And Lord, I pray that there would be an anticipation. Lord, whether they need to go back and make something right and come back again, whatever it may be, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will let them do whatever it takes, Lord, so that they can see what you have on the other side of this. Bring healing. Bring deliverance. Bring a hug. Bring love. Bring wisdom in Christ Jesus' name. I'm going to ask those that want to go on the outside to go as they pray at the altar. We're dismissing those that are wanting to go, need to go. Those that are at the altar, we're going to pray with you. The Lord bless and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, so he will be with you all throughout this day. Amen.